The reason we've been asked to talk about community is because Al and I have been for some years passionate about community, and we're no experts, but we can absolutely testify of God's favour upon us as we humbly step forward trying to honour his calling for us into that, exploring what the word community means for us as a couple, for us as a church. He's shown us favour, provision, and amazing miracles along the way. So that's what we want to testify and give honour about today. Before we start that, I want to talk a little bit about our church, because that's kind of where we come from and our solid base. We belong to a Bethlehem Community Church. Community is the very heart of the name. It's the very heart of the church. And we have, like
in
you...
Tauranga.
Yeah, sorry, in Tauranga. So we also belong here. It's amazing. We come here and we feel like we belong, but, you know, our home church is Tauranga. It's a small church. Our pastor a couple of weeks ago fondly described it as kind of being like a bonsai church. It's perfect in form and in fruit, but the size is small, but that's part of its charm. You know, that's what makes bonsai bonsai, isn't it? And I see that as a parallel here. You know, your intent, your focus, your form is perfect before the Lord. It's beautiful. You're a bonsai church also. but anyway, keep me to 10 minutes, won't you? we have this amazing little thing throughout our whole church vision, if you like, of three circles that helps us understand what our calling is, particularly for our church. And one of the circles represents the community need, the need that we perceive around us. So our community, of course, extends across the world because we are part of the God's family worldwide. But, you know, in particularly our community, our the need of the community is one of those circles. The other one of the circles is the resources that we have within our own church family. That includes land, building, people, finances, all those kind of things. And the third one is the vision of the church, the direction that we believe God is, you know, empowering us and calling us to be. Where those circles intercept is that sweet spot that's our calling, our mission. That's, you know, where the community need, where our sense of God's leading and our resources intersect. That's where we pour our efforts. And that's been a huge help for us as a church to understand, you know, we're a family church, we're a community church. And that's in that, you know, where we understand our leading to be. But when those things fit into that space, does it also, you know, an idea, does it fit in with a community need? Does it fit in with what we can resource? That's us. Let's go for it. We have a few examples I'll just rip into. We have a Friday night hub that's, we call it hub. It's just kind of like a cross between a social, educational, fun time. You can come and share a meal together. And then a variety of activities every week. It's never the same, although there is always board games and jigsaws and things like that in the lounge part. And that's a weekly social event for some of the oldies in our church who are widows and things like that. But it's also just as important to the young children and the families. So it's a night out together, just very informal. And we do things like make crafts or play games or watch movies, do Bible studies, learn how to play the guitar, learn some judo, all sorts of things. You know, it's just like a constant procession of different things that we can do together. And a great example of that was this time last year we were making tomato sauce. Now, we made homemade tomato sauce at the hub. The tomatoes came from the community gardens that we have at the church, and we gave a jar or bottle of tomato sauce with a special little label made with love by the people from Bethlehem Community Church to each of our congregation members so they could share it with their own neighbours. It was a tool, if you like, to share with their neighbours. So, you know, we had great stories of people inviting neighbours over who they'd never met before, but they, you know, brought out the tomato sauce, you know, to put on the fish and chips type thing. You know, really casual sort of, you know, perhaps a lot of them just gave the sauce away. Other ones invited people for a barbie or for a casual meal where they used the sauce. And it was just like that, a ticket, if you like, to share God's love. Things like that happen quite spontaneously. It's great fun. We do have community gardens at our church, and we also have op shop. So those are the specific things, I guess, that I could, you know, tell you about as examples of those things that fit in that little intersection of the circles. But that's enough about our church. I think we need to talk about perhaps the community gardens more specifically.
So about 3 or 4 years ago, our church was going through a little blip, and it was very self-focused and very inward-focused. And at that time, God was talking to us about taking our faith out into the marketplace. And so we set off on an adventure, and the Lord gave Anne a vision about setting up community gardens, and a model which was complete. It was very much, this is what it was going to look like, this is how it's going to work, this is how it's going to operate. And it's a bit different than community gardens as you might know them. But one of the things that we did is we set out, we looked for God's favour, and we connected with another church who was very good at in working communities and stuff, and they gave us their oversight, or their what do you call that thing? So we could then work under their umbrella, so we didn't have to set up our own charitable trust. That's what I'm looking for. So, which is really good. We did it for 4 years, and the gardens were very successful, and they went really well. But after 4 years, the church had said to us right at the start, "You need to go and set up your own thing after 4 years. We'll help you out for 4 years, then you need to do your own thing." And Anne and I are not good. We don't want to set up structures and run structures. So we very much said, okay. So right about then, there was a thing called Good Neighbour that was getting involved. And Tauranga, fellow Christians from different wide range of churches just said, we want to do some stuff in our community. We don't want to be so church-focused that that's all we do is one church doing that. We want to be able to work across boundaries and across borders in our community. And so it was set up a thing called Good Neighbour. And right then, it was about the time when we needed to look for someone else for another vehicle for what was Let's Get Growing. So we connected in with Good Neighbour, and it's been a great relationship ever since. And so we have a thing called, as you do here in Wellington, called Kibosh, which gets food that would otherwise be thrown out and redistributed to groups that have needs. And we do that, and one of the guys heads up that in Tauranga, and they redistribute well over 100 tonnes so far. In Tauranga, it's only gone 2 years. It's over 100 tonnes of food that would have gone to the tip. It's gone to needy families. So it doesn't. We don't. We're not like food bank. You get like people like the Women's Refuge might come and they'll get. They say, "This is what we need. Can you do that?" So really awesome meeting needs. And also we do community projects, which Campbell sets up, and we do the community gardens. And right now, if we could take just a minute to watch what we mean by setting up a community garden, because it kind of shows exactly what we mean by connecting with ourselves, with our church people, and with the community, and how that might look like and how it's worked for us. So if it's ready to go, that'd be awesome. So if you want to watch for just a minute, that'd be fantastic. Anne and I head up that side of the things, the gardens, and but we had over 100 people there that day helping out, people from just the community all over the place, and they had so many good reports. A blast it was to be involved in something that they were never going to get a benefit out of. They just wanted to be a part of something in the community. So there's a huge community need if we can connect with that. So that's what we do. We do it for the glory of God. We're very involved in our church as well. And we wanting to see connection. We're not good gardeners. We just want to see community grow. We want to see people get involved in any which way we can in order to help share faith. Because in churches, often we can get isolated. We get so busy in church or our own lives, and we've got kids and we've got everything else happening. It's difficult to find time or even to think, what heck would I do? Even if I had a little snippet of time, what would I do? So it's very much that sense of making it easy for people to get involved. And, yeah, we do a really wide range of stuff. It's a fantastic thing to be involved in. And you know, it's as Anne said, this is a fantastic wee church. We love coming here. And it's about finding what God is calling you to be, you know, as you get into your community and what that might look like. It's different. It's going to be different than it is here for you guys than it is for us. But it's the same deal. How do we relate? How do we connect with our community? How do we give of ourselves, in a sense, without expecting a return? Because it is God who adds the increase. We just have to be faithful. And so it's that whole process of loving and giving of ourselves, but still remaining like a balance. The tricky thing for everybody will know is keeping a balance. How do I do that, but I've still got to do this and do this and do this? So, so that's probably our story. Can I just pray for you guys, if I think? Father, we thank you that you are the most awesome God. And Father, you do set us in communities because, Lord, that's the way you grew us, you designed us, you programmed us. Father, that we would connect together, we would love and care for one another, we would give of ourselves and our hearts and our minds without expecting a return. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God that does grant increase, but you also, Lord, add your favour and you add your blessing. And Lord, I guess if every one of us looked at it, we have known and we seek and we understand your blessing. Sometimes it's not till we look back. But Father, I pray that as this little church connects with its community, I pray, Father, you grant them opportunities, new things, Lord. Father, in a sense, organic things that grow up, Lord, out of their own prayer, their own heart, their own desires, not just a copying or a following of something else or another model, but something that you are calling them to, that you are drawing them to, and you are equipping them for. I pray that you give them courage, Lord, to be able to step out into this new year, into things that you have placed upon hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd raise up people, Lord, who can take leadership in these roles and things. But most of all, Lord, we know that you are through it and in it. You are for us. You are with us. We thank you, Lord, that wherever we stand in your presence. You are but a breath, a touch away. And so we acknowledge our need for you today, and we thank you for your grace. So wonderful, so amazing, so beautiful and so lovely. We love you, Lord. We just love you. And we, as we come before you, Lord, we are amazed at your goodness toward us. Thank you. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to take the time out to look for opportunities to share our faith, to be salt and light. You know we're weak, Lord God, but when we are weak, you are strong. You know that when we trust you, never let us down. We know that you are for us, and if you be for us, who can be against us? So we love you, we honour you, we worship you in this place, and most of all, we want to say thank you, Father. We're out of a grateful heart, Lord God. You build the building blocks that will take us on and lead us to where you need us to go. So we thank you, Father, with all of our hearts. We give you praise, honour and glory. Love you, love you, love you. Thank you.
Just before we finish, I have a word and a challenge that I believe that God put in my heart this morning as we were praying out the back there. In John 18:26, and this is a challenge that happened for me earlier, like some years ago, but I believe it's fresh now for you too. It's the part where Peter is denying Jesus. So a pretty strong emotive time, really. And on the third denial, somebody came up to him. He was actually a relative of the guy who'd had his ear chopped off earlier. And he said, "Wasn't that you with Jesus in the garden?" And that was the challenge that God gave to me years ago, that I would be the kind of person, the kind of witness, if you like, that people would come up to me and say, "Wasn't that you I saw with Jesus in the garden?" And I could say, "Yes, I've been with Jesus in the garden. I'm with Jesus at the supermarket. I'm with Jesus at work. I'm with Jesus at the, I don't know, when I go out jogging. He's with me all the time." And I can guarantee when you get yourself in the place where you're rubbing shoulders with people. We often say gardening is a place where you're all equal, you and you're in your gumboots. It doesn't matter whether you're a lawyer or on PD gang. You're the same when you're in your gummies, you know. When you get yourself into the place where you are able to have somebody rubbing shoulders with you and literally saying, "Wasn't that Jesus I saw you with?" Then you have your answer. You have your opportunity. Give it with grace and gentleness. God be honored.
Sorry. Yeah, thank you.